Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 17th of March, 2024. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul continued our series being on the road with Jesus and he looked at the leper. The reading is John chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
It's just lovely to have that sense of being together in his presence. The notices for the week are as per the notices, and suffice to say, the one thing that doesn't say at the top, which I want to add every week, is a big welcome. If this is your first time here, you're truly among family and friends, and we hope and pray that in this church family today you find the risen Lord, and we come to know you a lot better. We'd love to find out a bit about you after over a tea and coffee later, if you're able to stay. And secondly, to say, if this is your millionth time here, and I doubt anyone's been here a million times, you're welcome. And then on the screen, you can see some of those things that we get up to. This group called the Rambling Roses. Now, I'm told it's all about walking. Okay. That is to say, I'm told it's all about walking. What I do know is, every picture I've ever seen of them, there's a lot of smile and a lot of fun, a lot of fellowship. And yet it does seem to involve tea and cake. So that can't be bad, can it? Fellowship, exercise, tea and cake. Wow. If you want to know more about the Rambling Roses, you'll find the contact details on our notice sheet. But the next time the meeting is Thursday the 28th at 10:15 at the Selworthy car park. And you'll be more than welcome. Gentlemen, if you want to tag along, I have no idea. Gentlemen, I don't know if there's a group called the Rumbling Wrecks, but maybe there should be. It'd be lovely to any of you ladies that want to join them. I'm sure they'd be really delighted to see you. Secondly, to say that obviously we're coming up to that time of Easter. There'll be more notices about Easter given tomorrow at our members' meeting, but please kind of start to have a look at this week's notice sheet. You'll see there's a direction to our website where all of our Easter stuff is. Some information about the Holy Week breakfasts that we do over Zoom, and an Easter party at the Hub, and the fact that there's some Easter cards that are available in the foyer. Any donations you give will go to the Hope Centre. Thank you, Simon, for helping us with that. Please keep an eye over this coming week of all the announcements that start to be made as we get towards next week, which is Palm Sunday. And lastly, but by no means leastly, to say, every week here we have a prayer ministry team. The prayer ministry team are around and available for you should in any part of the service touch your heart and you need prayer. Or you want to pray about an issue in your life, or you want to pray for healing, or you get the drift. And last week Simon came and asked for prayer because he'd been suffering. Cellulitis on his leg. It had been sore and red and he'd not been able to sleep. So last week in the service, he was prayed for. A couple of our great prayer warriors prayed for him. And I said to Simon, today's gone. Look, it's gone. And you go, amen. And then you go, Simon, when did it happen? When did that redness go? The soreness stop? Prayer. Can I encourage you today to come and seek someone who will pray with you? Don't leave it a week. Because a week actually might be, you might have more trouble and anxiety. You know, there's an amazing song, isn't there? It says, trust and obey. Oh, what troubles we share. Let's share each other's troubles this day. And talking of that, this morning in my own reading, I got to Psalm 75, which I just love. It starts with a direction. It says, for the director of music to the tune of Do Not Destroy. No one knows what the tune was, but the tune of Do Not Destroy. It says this, we praise you, God. We praise you for your name is dear. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I chose the appointed time. It is I who will judge with equity. When the earth and all its peoples quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exhorts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. This morning, as a group, when we met for prayer, we prayed that we would be reminded of something, dear church, that you would be reminded of something this morning. And it is this, that our battle is against the principalities and the powers of the enemy in this world. But that we can declare the victory because Christ has already won. God is already victorious and we are already on the winning side. So I want to start that in prayer and then ask Sue to take over whenever she wants in this prayer to start us in this amazing first song. Father God, we thank you that we can stand, sit, come, kneel, lay, be here this morning, knowing that you are the one that is victorious. Declaring that you are the one that has power and dominion over all the earth. That you, Lord, gracious Lord, are the one that holds the world in your hands. But more than that, that you're the one that's already won the victory, and so therefore we do not stand defeated, we stand victorious. We do not stand browbeaten, we stand in your righteousness. We do not stand full of rejection, but in hope and grace because you paid the price. And Lord, we stand on the winning side because one day you will come again and your name will be glorified by all. We declare God is good. Whoa. I know it's early in the morning, but actually, can I invite you to do something? Can I invite you to imagine the most elaborate, amazing, awesome party you've ever been to? How would you celebrate in that party? Like this? God is good. Sing and shout. No, you wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't do that. That's not how we celebrate. God is good, we go. Can I invite you this morning to celebrate the reality that we are on the victorious side? The reason I'm laughing is I can see Sue doing what I was about to say a bit faster, please.
We come now to our time of prayers of intercession this morning. Loving God, we come to you today as your church here in Minehead and part of your body, each of us so very different and yet drawn together through our faith and love in Jesus. Father, we pray for those Christians who are struggling right now, for whom life is challenging, and without their faith in you, they would have no hope. Help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Father, this morning we pray for the Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith and belief in you. We pray particularly for those who are in a position of power and have the ability to have a change of heart towards Christians in these places, for strength, for hope, and for joy for those imprisoned believers and their families. Father, we thank you this morning for the work of Open Doors and many other missionary organisations. Father, help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Lord of all creation, we give you thanks for the world that you have created. We know that over time we have made mistakes, the ripples of which are being felt, often by the most vulnerable. We pray that you will enter the hearts of those who govern and make decisions, so that we can reduce and reverse the damage that has been done to this beautiful planet. Father, we ask for you to speak into the hearts of each of your people. Encourage us to make changes that all may seem small and insignificant will collectively bring about positive change, so that we can live our lives in a way that reflects the love of you in the care of this creation. Father, help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. God of power and might, we pray for our government and those who make decisions on our behalf. We pray that their hearts and minds may be governed by you, and that all selfish ambition and greed be cast aside. Father, in a moment of silence, we each bring before you organisations of power and influence in which you have placed upon our hearts. Lord, we are aware of the current cost of living crisis and how this is having an effect across our community and many others. Lord, we pray for the work of our local food bank and the families in whom they support. And Lord, the food bank and other organisations supporting families currently. Lord, help us to see a need in our community and to respond in your love and in your compassion. Help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. God of healing and love, we bring before you those who are suffering and ask for you to bring comfort in a time of pain, worry, and despair. In a moment of silence, we each bring before you people, places, and situations in which you have placed on our hearts this morning. We pray for those this morning who are suffering ill health or awaiting a diagnosis, those who may be struggling financially, and those who may be overcome with fear, isolation, or grief. Lord, we think of those who have nobody to pray for them And Lord, this morning we pray for them, knowing that although they may feel invisible, they are seen, known and loved by you. Help us to act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with you. Father of all, in a moment of silence, we bring before you prayers for ourselves, our families and our encounters this coming week. God, help us this week as we continue to live as disciples of you. Help us to share you with those in whom we meet this coming week. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you are at work within our church family here in Minehead. And Father, help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. In your wonderful name, we pray these things. Amen.
A reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel. It's chapter 17, starting at verse 11 up to verse 19. And the title in my Bible is called 10 Healed of Leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Trust God will add that scripture as a blessing to us today. Oh, Brother Paul. Specs away. Lord, I just thank you for Brother Paul, and I pray that you will use him and bless him and us this morning. He has prepared the words to say, but Father, as your Spirit moves you, you might say other things, you might give him other words. Just give him a freedom. Help him to pour out the love of Jesus among this church, that the walls may indeed be broken down, because people will see we are people of love. So bless dear Paul, watch over him, and use him this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, friend.
Bless you, Paul. Bless you, my brother. Amen, and amen, and amen. And in many ways, we could stop there, couldn't we? Thank you very much, whoever said yes. But we ain't gonna. I'll ask Stephen if I put the slides up. As we continue with something this morning that we've been on over the last 2 weeks and we'll be on over the next 2 weeks, and that is that journey with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. And we're looking at those folk we meet with Jesus on the way. And obviously you can begin to see that this story of the lepers fits in with that journey. It starts, as it says, now on the way to Jerusalem. And obviously you can read that now on the way to Jerusalem, or now on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus was going. And we hear of the reaction of these folk, the sisters last week, and to the healing of Lazarus and the crowd and the Lazarus himself. And today we're looking at the reaction of these lepers. Because what we learn of here is about thankfulness. And that's what we're going to spend our time looking at this morning. Because with hindsight, we can see something that at the time they'd never have seen. That is to say, that Jesus was done journeying towards the cross at this moment, towards his death, and yes, towards resurrection. And we, indeed all the lepers he met, have so much to be grateful for that our Lord did what he did. Defeated death and rose again. We come back to the beginning of the service, don't we? We've much to celebrate, we went. And we have. But the story raises a challenge. And it's one we should face head on as we journey with Jesus. And the challenge is really simple. It is this. For everyone here this morning, I want you to remember something. Only one came back. And the challenge it raises is this. When was the last time you were thankful for what the Lord's done? And I don't just mean thankful on the surface. I mean really thankful, deep thanks to the Lord. When was the last time? When was the last time you gave thanks that went beyond the quick, thank you, Lord? You know the sort of thing I mean. Thank you, Lord, for the car parking space. When was the last time your thanks went beyond that? Beyond a kind of quick moment in life, a kind of begrudging moment. Begrudging because you don't want to take the time to truly say thank you. When was the last time you thanked the Lord? Not just grateful for the massive, but for the ordinary as well. Of course, we are praying for healing for many of our folk. And praise God, we'll have testimony that he's massive. And hallelujah for those moments. But you know, God is also in the ordinary. The everyday things that we can all thank him for. When was the last time you looked at your life and said, I'm thankful, Lord, for what I have. Rather than asking him for what you do not have. Truth to tell, ministers can get in that too. The church congregation is however big it is this morning, but Lord, give us another 30 or 40. Actually, Lord, be blessed if. Actually, when was the last time we said, I want to thank the Lord for all of you, including those that would ring me and at weird times of the day and night, you're welcome. I want to thank the Lord for all of you. And if you don't think anyone here does, welcome to pass the pastor, okay? But for all of you. But when was the last time you and I thanked the Lord for what we have rather than what we want or what we think we should have? When was the last time you were content with your circumstances rather than believing the if only lie? Do you know the if only? If only I had a better job. If only I had a bigger house. If only I had a newer car. If only I could reach my next goal. If only we could travel around the world for holiday this year than having to go to Butlins. Oh, that came out wrong. If only, if only, if only, if only, then my life would be complete. If only I could do this. If only, if only, if only. If only I would meet the right woman and settle down and have her as my wife, all would be brilliant. There'd be roses around the door and we'd never argue. If only we had children. They'd make life complete. We'd never argue again. If only they weren't so bad, my children. You get the drift. If only, if only, if only. If you follow the if only bits of life, you'll never be truly thankful. When was the last time you thanked the Lord? Truly thanked the Lord. And incidentally, that's just the introduction, so sorry about that. But that is also true to say the reality of this. That's the challenge. Because the healing of the 10 lepers teaches us an important thing about thankfulness and about our surrender to God. And I just want to invite you to follow me through this little story. If you've got your Bible open, you'd be If you've got a Bible and you can have it open, you'd be really blessed, I hope and pray, this morning as you read Scripture with me. But by the by, let's look at this story and the themes it brings bit by bit. The four main parts there are. Firstly, let's acknowledge something. We give thanks. We must give thanks because our need is great. Verses 11 to 13 find these lepers in a bit of a bind, don't they? It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Now, scholars tell us that the location of this meeting is important. It takes place on the border of Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus had demonstrated before, his love extends beyond the Jews. He's the saviour of the world. Even the Samaritans, who were hated by Jesus, and lest we forget, it was a Samaritan who returned to thank Jesus. What does this say to us? Not only was at least one of the lepers a Samaritan, but the disease was the most feared one of its day for several key reasons. But not the least of which is in this day, lepers were unclean. Leviticus 13:38-46 tells us of instructions regarding lepers, reminds us that what lepers need to do. That in reality, at this time, if you had leprosy, you had to separate yourself from Jewish society and go and live in isolation, a colony, with other lepers. And so if you had leprosy, before the disease ever really took hold too much, what it meant was that you would lose things. You would lose lots. First of all, lepers lost contact with their families. Then they lost their jobs. Then, in reality, they were put in colonies, and in one thing they lost was hope. Then, they couldn't kiss their children. Imagine that one. Even just that one. Then, what else? Well, they couldn't enjoy family celebrations. They couldn't go. They were outcasts. They were alone. And they were impoverished. And it is from that great place that the lepers cry for mercy. And incidentally, in this passage Luke has here, the word for pity, as is translated in our Bibles, "Master, have pity on us," is translated in many others as mercy, in other verses of Scripture. It's the same word, whichever way you translate it now, as is used in Luke 16:24. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." Can you see the desperate situation these lepers were in? They truly had no hope. We need to hold that there, and we need to recognize something, okay? And that is this. Spiritually, in the Bible, leprosy represents our sinful condition. Okay, that's the truth. Many biblical scholars would go further than that, but everyone agrees that spiritually in the Bible, leprosy represents the sinful condition of man. And why does it do so? Well, because leprosy reduces everyone to the same stature. Think of those rules in Leviticus, whether you are the king. He might have got away with it, I guess. Whether you are the king or the pauper, you're all living in one colony together. Everything stripped away. Doesn't matter how rich you are. The reality is, this brings everyone to the same status. Friends, sin reduces all of us to sinners. Do you know where the biggest sinner is in church this morning? Standing in front of you. Years ago, when I was training to be a local preacher, a very wise minister said to me, "Always remember, Paul, that the biggest sinner needs to draw nearest the cross, and on a Sunday, you're the one that's it. You're going to be nearest the cross. always remember. Friends, sin affects us all. But isn't it interesting in our modern society that we use the word sin less and less? It can seem that it's no longer acceptable to tell someone that their action, whatever it is against Scripture and an offence to God, and therefore sin. Who are you to tell me what to do? Becomes the cry. I have an absolute privilege of representing this church at meetings with other ministers. Whether they're local cluster meetings, or they're meetings of Baptist ministers across their association, or they're a meeting with ministers from other denominations. At one of those meetings, the question was asked, who thinks that adultery is sin? What shocked me was not the number of ministers that put their hand in the air, but the fact that some didn't. It's sin, friends. Incidentally, you may have gathered, I was one of the ones with my hands in the air. It is sin. But society tells us, who are you? But there's a problem with that societal attitude, and that is sin reduces all to sinners, whether we acknowledge it or not. Because sin separates us from God. And all society does is give us a framework to continue sinning. And therefore continue and maybe deepen our separation from God. How do I know that to be true? Let's see if you agree. The world Jesus knew had a problem with sin. In fact, so much so that even those that should have been the religious leaders of the time are sinning. Think of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. You have made my father's house into a den of thieves, Jesus says. Sins become an issue and a problem. And we know, do we not, that Jesus came to deal with sin. Is that right? We all agree? Amen to that. Hallelujah. You don't have to say amen, but you know, thank you for those that did. The reality is that we agree sins was an issue. But bluntly speaking, despite all that our so-called modern enlightenment and learning tells us, despite the way we believe that we're able to accept more rationally than ever before, this world still has the same problem. Sin. It is sin, friends. I've sat several times through people reminding me, since I gave up my job in a bank, how greedy bankers were. Genuinely, I have. I sat in a meeting of ministers where I was reminded of how greedy bankers were, how they'd put the world into a problem, how they should actually recognize that and give back some of their wages. And then I reminded folk that the teller at the till earned less than the minister. Friends, sin gets in everywhere. It wheedles its way in. This world, I want to argue today, has a problem with sin, a big problem. And in my opinion, and it is just my opinion, many do not want to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, because it means if they absolutely accept the reality of who Christ is, they're going to have to give up the delicious sin that they enjoy so much. That's the reality. At a most extreme, sin can rule your life. If you're male and you're addicted to pornography, let me remind you, sin is ruling your life. And in case you're female and you wonder, how can I single out the male? I want to also say, if you're female and you're addicted to pornography, because incidentally, that's the fastest growing group in the UK, then sin is ruining your life. It was my privilege once to be invited to speak to the new boys at Bristol Baptist College. I say new, but in reality, many of them were the same age as me. Kind of made me, I was asked to do, like, be their kind of father figure. That's not quite the word that was used, but that sense of, you've been in ministry, come tell them what it's like, Paul, kind of thing, you know? And it was really interesting to talk to a number of them over coffee during the break in this session we had.
And I was talking to this chap, same age as me, listening to how God had called him to serve the Lord. And undeniably, God had called him to serve the Lord. If you heard his story, you'd go, hallelujah. And then his face changed. And bearing in mind, he could share with me openly and honestly. He said, but I wish I'd answered the call many years ago. And so I asked him the logical question, why didn't you? This was his response. I couldn't give up gossiping. I enjoyed it too much. Absolute honesty from this minister, to be fair to him. Absolute down the line honesty, which I admire because quite frankly he'd come to a point of dealing with it. But can you see how gossiping had kept him from answering God's call? And that's another one. Gossiping is sin, friends. Friends, we owe it to our community not just to speak out but to live out. And that's the way the walls come down. The story is a reminder that we all need God's mercy. And secondly, we need to acknowledge something. God's mercy is greater than our need. Jesus sends the lepers away. Go and show yourselves to the priests, he says. I wonder how they felt. That there is an indication that they demonstrated at least some measure of faith because they went and did what Jesus told them to do. Even the nine that didn't thank him went to the priest. I can imagine, because other Jewish scholars and writers of the time say it so, that if you're a leper, if you thought there was a slight change in your condition, you'd go and present yourself to the priest. Remember, this is ostracization from community. And so it's likely that this group of lepers had been and seen the priest many times, each time saying, is there some improvement? Only to be disappointed once again. So why don't they just go and do this one more time? Might be the way they're thinking. But this time it's different, isn't it? We don't hear what happened to them, but we do know Jesus healed them. And as they went, therefore, they must have noticed that Jesus had indeed healed them. Those sort of rabbinic writings of the time included many cures for various diseases, but all of them said there was no cure for leprosy. One wrote that, quote, curing leprosy was like raising the dead. What Jesus did was truly remarkable, therefore. Oh, and incidentally, didn't he raise Lazarus? This story, this journey to the cross on each occasion reminds us of something. That the punishment you and I deserve is death. But Jesus Christ has given us life. Time and time and time again we're reminded of that. Then these lepers experience God's grace. In telling them to show themselves to the priest, Jesus fulfills the law of Moses. Because a priest had to declare you were healed. Incidentally, they missed something here, these nine. Go and show yourself to the priest, Jesus said. Jesus was a priest, wasn't he? They could have showed themselves to him. But they somehow missed that. I don't know how. However, everyone here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, has experienced God's grace. I'm going to ask, I want you to be bold if this is you, okay? But I'm going to pre-warn you, if this is you, I want you to put your hand in the air and we're just going to celebrate with what God has done. Has anybody here been healed from leprosy? No. All right, okay. Well, just to let everyone online know, the answer is no. But everybody here has seen, known, felt God's grace. Because, friends, when Jesus Christ came into your life, he gave you life. And he gave you life to enjoy and live. And incidentally, not to live it when you die, but to live it now. Hallelujah. We're coming to Easter Sunday. You may have gathered I'm quite excited about Easter Sunday already. Life to enjoy. And therefore, we should focus on the third part of the story. We should give thanks to whom it's due. 10 lepers were healed. They left. But one returns to thank God. And that's the point of the entire story. Only one of the lepers glorified God for the blessing. And you may be different to me, but this is where I see many of us today.
We like the good things that we get in this world, but we don't associate them with the gracious hand of God. We think that we deserve them, that hard work has given them to us, that we've earned them. We forget that we too are poor, lepers, desperate and without hope. Friends, I don't know about you, you can speak for yourself, but before I found Jesus Christ, I can honestly tell you I was lost and going down the wrong path. And many of you have heard me say with my cousin Mark, the reality is, had not I, then I would have been where he was, and he committed suicide because of all the trouble in his life. And I want to say hallelujah and thank you, Lord, for giving me life and for recognizing that I am a leper too and I need your healing. And thank you, Lord. And if you don't see yourself somewhere in that, then I suggest you go to the Lord and ask him for his blessing and his grace. We forget that we're without hope. And so we go on our own merry way, don't we? Enjoying the things that God has given us. Never pausing to worship him as the source of all these good things. But there is a danger of a thankless heart. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. This verse invites us to remember everything's from God in the first place and give thanks. Sisters and brothers, a thankless heart means we're no better than the nine that didn't come back. No better than those that didn't thank Jesus. We should do more than them, shouldn't we? Be better than them. We should recognize and acknowledge that God is the giver of all good things and worship him. And finally, friends, hallelujah, someone said. Finally, friends, give thanks when others ignore God's grace. The nine went on their way. I want to suggest something. They weren't ungrateful, but they were preoccupied. They're preoccupied with their enjoyment and their plans to go and be with their families once again. They weren't ungrateful. They were preoccupied. We should be the ones that thank the Lord. In fact, we shouldn't be preoccupied with before we thank the Lord. We should be occupied with thanking the Lord. One commentator, I love this chap, incidentally, tries to imagine what might have been going through the minds of the nine unfaithful lepers. And he's come up with nine things. Let's see if you agree. These all started one. One said or one waited. Nine unthankful lepers. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he'd never had leprosy in the first place. One said he would have got well anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said any rabbi could have done it. And one said, I was already much improved. Nine made up, before I get into trouble, responses. But nonetheless, they're true of humanity. And so this passage raises a question for us all. Are we grateful to God for where we are today, for what he has given us, for who we are, for our church family, for each other, even for the pastor, or has wealth and success, forgetfulness, self-sufficiency and pride got in the way? Are they the real source of our ingratitude? A kind of all I need is me attitude. Contrast that with the leper that came back praising God. I'd like to argue that no one in the world that moment enjoyed his family as much as that leper did that night. That no one in the world enjoyed worshipping at the temple as much as that leper did that night. His thanks and his praise were immediate.
What about yours? He was in a place of spiritual ecstasy. And this story invites you to join him this morning. This story invites you to be thankful, really thankful for all that God has done and is doing in your life. This story invites you to put aside the if only things of your life, to lay them down, to acknowledge that you are loved, wonderfully created, beautifully loved in the Lord, as you are and who you are. This story invites you to lay the sin before the Lord and say, I'm done with it, as an offering to him. This story invites you to stop for a moment and be thankful, even in the muck and the bullets of life. Whatever your circumstances. This story invites you to acknowledge what God is up to in your life and in the life of this church. And to go, come on, Lord. Or some version thereof. As we finish in worship this morning, now is the time for this church, for you and I, to be thankful. Like the thankful leper, let's remember how much God has blessed us and be thankful for all of his blessings. You are the most amazing bunch of people meeting anywhere in Minehead this morning. No. You are the most amazing church family of anyone place meeting in anyone place in Minehead. No. You are by far the greatest army meeting in any place in Minehead this morning. And how do I know that? Because the one thing that that leper that came back learned, above all the ones that didn't, surely, was that this man would bring life and life eternal. Amen. Friends, let's pray as Sue comes and leads the group back onto the stage. Father God, I thank you for the example of the leper that returned. I pray this morning, Lord, oh, for myself, Lord, that I may lay down all sins of my life and simply say to you, I am done with them. They are yours. They're my offering of worship this morning. Small though it may be, Lord, yet profound as it is, I bring you the sin of my life. And Lord, I also say that I have loads of if-onlys in my life. And I lay before you the if-onlys, Lord. If only this, if only that, if only they, if only we, all those, Lord, I lay them before you. To the one that doesn't say if only into my life, but says I am. Let me acknowledge this morning how blessed I am in you. And acknowledge that you reign. And I come before you, the one whose thanks, the one my thanks are due to. Oh, Lord, if I stop for one moment, I see so much to be thankful for. I want to worship you like I've never done before. I want to simply come. I want to acknowledge, Lord, that this is not about the words and the music. It's about a relationship with you. And so take all that I have and all that I am this morning, Lord, and be glorified, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I want to invite you to do something which is just beautiful. Show you something beautiful in the scripture that we had and invite you the other side of what you might call the curtain. And verse 14 it says this, when they saw him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus heals them, not in the moment of being with him, but as they go. As they went, they were cleansed, scripture says. He sent them to the priest before they were healed. They responded in faith, and Jesus heals them on the way. Wherever you are this morning, whatever your response in faith is, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is going to heal you on the way. And so this morning's rather special because it means whatever that looks like for you, I want to invite you to do that. And if, as I say, you're struggling with sin, I just want to invite you to give it to the Lord. And he'll take the sin and do the healing. If this morning you're struggling, you need prayer, come forward as part of this next worship, of a section of worship, and we'll pray with you. So the truth is, there's nothing special about me or indeed about you. But the Lord, that's someone else entirely. On the road, he will heal. And so simply, what the invitation this morning is to commit all that you have into his hands. To believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. To accept his healing and his grace. So however that looks like for you this morning, I invite you to do that. Whether that's standing or kneeling or sitting or laying or whatever. If God gives you pictures or words, please come find myself or one of the other leaders of this church and we'll discern with you what that's about. If you need prayer, just come and be. Now, if you need prayer and you want to come and sit on the stage as a sign that you're going to do this for the Lord or kneel down here, that's also fine. Incidentally, we won't put that online. So that's between you and God. But this is holy moment. So I invite you to respond in all holiness and simply put everything into Jesus' hands. Come, have your moment. The Lord will heal you on the way.
Into your hands I commit again all I the palm of your hand, and I am yours.
There's a lie. It's a lie the enemy tells us. Here's the lie. The lie is that the Lord is not big enough to do whatever it is he's talking to you about now. Whether that's calling you into ministry or healing you from sickness or dealing with sin or whatever it is, the reality is the enemy says he's not big enough. And there is that moment where you go, if he says to you, if you give this away, particularly sin, if you give it away, then there's nothing left of you. And the reality is that's a lie. If you give sin away, then there's everything left of you. It's the sin that's the block. And therefore, this is holy moment. This is the moment where we go, dear church, let's minister to each other, pray with each other, be there for each other. Someone here this morning, you know who you are. The Lord is asking you to give away something, and it may not be sin, but it is definitely a blockage in your relationship with him. And the enemy is telling you that if you let go of whatever it is, there'd be none of you left. And the truth is, there'd be all of you left. And I want to invite you this morning to just let it go. And that you can do, friends, where you are in your seat. So I pray for you, whomever you are, that the Lord will open up the reality of his love to you, pour out his grace on you, and you will let go that which has held you for so long. May it be gone, Lord, in this very moment. And I pray, Lord, that the cleansing Holy Spirit would flow in and through and out and on and rest on that individual. And if this morning that is you, please come and find me or someone
you know and trust after the service. Because Jesus wants to say this to you. I love it when you say that you believe in me, but in reality, Jesus believes in you. I love it when you say you belong to me, but in reality, I also belong to you. I love it when you say you're the reason that you I'm the reason that you live, but in reality, you're the reason that I died. And you're the reason that I celebrate who you are in front of the Father this morning and intercede for you. We're going to sing that again. And if that is you, if I have described you, can I invite you to simply give everything over to the Lord? Here we go.
To your hands I commit again all I am for you.
If that was your prayer this morning, I want to remind you of something. The Lord tells us in Scripture that that was divine exchange, divine transaction. And if you want to know what's happened, then Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, "Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. He has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You have been sealed with the very Spirit of God. And not only can you sing when the music fades into your hands, but you can rest assured you are in His hands. The Lord's just given me a picture of you and I standing outside the very throne room of God. This heavy purple curtain hangs. And we're standing there and you're saying to me, dare I go in? And then a hand gently comes and pulls the curtain aside and invites you in. It is the Lord, reminding us that He has dealt with that space, that curtain, and ushering you into the very holy presence of God. And as we approach, there's a sense in which you are fearful, thinking, what will the Lord say to me? What will my Father say to you? We get nearer and nearer. And although He could have spoken when we came into the room, when we're right up close to God as you could ever be, He simply says, "My child, I love you." I invite you to enter the Holy of Holies and to take divine time with the Lord.
Father, I thank you for the picture that's just been shared with me of the Lord standing before this church in his prayer shawl and saying, in me is healing, in me is grace, I am all you need. I encourage you from where you are to run to the arms of our Lord, to acknowledge the reality of who he is, to accept that he longs for you to be with him. And as prayer of blessing, I pray that this week you may praise his name with dancing, that your life may make sweet music of worship to him, that you will acknowledge that he takes delight in you, that he has crowned you with salvation, that he invites you to join with his saints and rejoice, and longs for you to be thankful and sing for joy. May the praise of God be in your mouths, and may you walk among the people of this world with a double-edged sword in your hand. This group here today represents the dangerous army of the Lord. That is to say, dangerous to the enemy. So may your week, this week, be filled with praise of his name. And may you and I be his army. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, there'll be time. We're going to finish with one more song. There'll be time to come and pray and be afterwards. There'll be coffee and tea served in the hall. But we wanted to give thanks to the Lord for all he has done. And while we do, while we sing this song, we're also going to take up the offering for the work of God in this church. Yes, I nearly forgot it. The work of God in this church. If you're a visitor or you've come unprepared, just let this pass you by. If you want to do something profound this morning, can I invite you to do so? Now, I know that normally there are those of us, me included, that let this pass us by. And actually, because we give in different ways, there are many different ways of giving to this church. But this morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, can I ask you to do something very profound? That is to say, even if you've nothing in your hand, put your hand in the offering. And physically do something that shows you're going to give whatever it was the Lord has spoken to you to him this morning. Give thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His long life endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His long life endures forever.
So thank you for being with us this morning online, or indeed in this building. Can I remind you, there's tea and coffee being served. We'd love to find out about what God's been up to. I'd love to find out what God's been up to in your life this morning. Go and have a very blessed week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.